the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while and in a time of testing fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, what is all this about, for goodness sake? We haven't done Rogation Sunday since Adam was knee-high to a grasshopper or something. Despite having once been the vicar of two rural parishes, I don't think we ever beat choir boys around the bounds of the... I don't think it's allowed anymore, anyway. As Mother Kirsten announced as we started this morning's worship, today is Rogation Sunday, and after today there are 3 days which lead up to the Ascension, which is on Thursday. And traditionally, these days are set aside to pray for the land, for the rivers, the lakes, the seas, the forests, the orchards, the oceans, and to pray for all those who work on them and provide our food. You will appreciate that when our Anglican prayer books were being compiled and sources were being brought together in the 15th and 16th centuries, people were more intimately connected with the soil, more intimately connected with the passage of the seasons, very dependent on rain, warm spring weather, proper pollination, so that the harvest could be abundant and people would be fed for the rest of the year. Now, not quite the same for us. We live in a very well-fed and affluent part of the world. Although today we could give thanks for asparagus from Peru, apples from Mexico, lamb from New Zealand. Perhaps if we lift a little bit more simply and a little closer to the sources of our food, we might be a little bit more thankful that anything has turned up on our dinner plates at all. It's good for us to remember that we are a church that has a past. We are a church that has a tradition. And we shouldn't dismiss Rogation as being old-fashioned, but instead adapt it to our current needs. Praying for God to bless the land and the seas, the harvest they yield, those who work on them, is good and right. Of course it is. But in our 21st century world, a large black cloud is looming over us. There is an enormous elephant in the room which we cannot ignore, which we may not ignore, and that, of course, is climate crisis. I have to admit that my heart sank just a little when I saw that I was on the rota to preach today. I don't think that Rogation isn't important, And because of climate crisis, I don't think that isn't important either, quite the contrary. But it's like my elephant in the room. It's too big to be contained in 10 minutes, although somebody did give me the liberty to preach for 30 minutes. But I'm not a nonconformist, so I'm going to keep it short. The subject is too serious to skip through lightly. And because of the size of the subject, it's very difficult to be sufficiently well-informed. My eyes have been attuned for clues. Sorry, not my eyes. They're not attuned at all. It's my ears that have been attuned. My ears have been attuned for clues. Last week, there were two musicians talking about the created world. Not Rogation specifically, but I was listening out for something that would get me into today. The first musician I heard was Anselm MacDonald, an Irish musician, composer. He wrote a piece for Radio 3, which he called A Taste of Trapped Sun, and it's a response to the climate crisis. And in the interview, before the piece was played, he said, "I am a convinced Christian, and I believe that God will ensure that his creation is okay." So that's one point of view. I believe that God will make sure his creation is okay. Then the other person was Peggy Seeger. I didn't hear her. She was quoted in The Guardian, I think. She, if you don't know, is a folk singer, a musician, and someone with no religious faith. And her take on this was, climate change is going to cull us all as a species. So that's pretty stark, isn't it? Climate change is going to cull us all as a species. So, do we naively trust that God will sort it all out? Or do we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, the end is coming anyway, better get on with it? I found a sneaky way into thinking about this by looking at a different place and then creeping up on the subject behind it. Apart from my small friend in the front here, how old are you, sweetheart? Seven. When you were two, there was this terrible thing going around which made everybody quite scared, which was called COVID. Did you hear about that? Not really. Those of us who are as old as I am, I'm 75. I know, makes your jaw drop, doesn't it? We will remember COVID. It's kind of gone away. People hardly think about it nowadays. It's 100 times less scary than it was in the year 2000. But in our solitude and fear, a lot of us turned to old and familiar sources of comfort. And for me, one of those sources of comfort was the old Book of Common Prayer. Particularly relevant in the context of a global pandemic, because in the 14th, 15th, and 16th centuries, when the Book of Common Prayer, the sources were being written and drawn together. The plague was rampant, and that was the context in which the prayer book was being written. When the plague broke out, you stood a very good chance of dying. So not only does the Book of Common Prayer contain prayers seeking blessings for fields and waters on Rogation, but it also contains prayers asking for God to protect us against the plague. And one such prayer goes along the lines of asking God that it may now please him to withdraw from us the plague and grievous sickness. And I prayed that prayer, asking God to withdraw from us the plague and the grievous sickness. But when it was written, did the plague disappear from 15th century England? Well, not quickly. 4 in 10 men, women, and children died from the plague. Practically half the population was decimated. And what do we make of that? People fervently said their prayers, and yet a lot of people suffered. Well, I turned to prayer during the pandemic, and if we had all prayed and done nothing else, would COVID have disappeared? Would God have stepped in and done something, a bit like Anselm thinks he might? If given the choice, to eradicate COVID? Do we choose prayer? Or do we turn towards clever men and women who might find a cure? Surely, no, we have experience. It was thanks to the scientists who could quickly develop a vaccine that we are relatively free from the fear of COVID today. More questions. Did God inspire those scientists? Or was my fear, your fear, abated by our prayers to God? Well, you see, already I've probably overstepped my 10 minutes. Val, have I overstepped my 10 minutes? No, I'm okay, good. I mean, these are big questions. Find a cup of coffee after the service or a cup of tea and talk to somebody you know about them. With COVID, we prayed. As a church, we prayed, though the authorities made that extremely difficult because they closed down all the churches and we couldn't meet together. So prayer was part of it. But we also looked to the scientists. And thank God for UK scientists, who were the people who pioneered the work on vaccines. And we all got the jabs in our arms, and we all got healthier because of it. But we also took action. Each one of us took action. You might not know the baked potato song. Do you know the baked potato song? My wife has told me I'm not allowed to sing it. She said, don't you dare sing the baked potato song. So I'm not going to sing the baked potato song, but we all sang the baked potato song. And who knows, perhaps while we're having coffee, a little group of us might sing it so you can hear it. And we washed our hands, and we didn't keep to go to see our friends, and we kept our distance. So there were three things going on there. We were praying, the scientists were working, and we played our part by doing the things that we knew we should, including the baked potato song. And self-evidently, you can see where I'm going with this, can't you? The same is true for the climate crisis. We can and we should lay our fears and our anxieties before God. As individuals, we should do it in our own prayers, and as a church, we should express our sorrow for how we've treated and are treating the world. But we also need the support of scientists and those emissions which are going to reduce carbon emissions, to keep water clean, to remove obstructions, to farming more sustainably, to eating better sourced food. We've got to look to scientists to find ways that we can do that. And we need to take our own personal action, making thought-out decisions about what we buy, about where it comes from. How much plastic are you prepared to put up with? How much water will you use? How much fuel will you burn? How will you travel? And that, taking personal action, has to be informed by our prayers, asking God to help us in our resolution to do better by the world and its glorious abundance, so that it may be blessed and we may be blessed in our enjoyment of it. Fran read for us from the Epistle of St. James. It has some tough things to say to us. If you're feeling brave, read the whole thing. And one of the things that James says to Christians is, you can't parade your faith around as much as you like, saying, see how holy and good I am. See how many prayers I say. If it's not backed up with action, if your prayers are not backed by action, they're a complete and utter waste of time, says St. James. We can pray, and I hope you do. We must pray. But on this Rogation Sunday, when we ask God to bless the fields, the farms, the forests, the orchards, the rivers and the streams, the oceans and the lakes, the prayers will be insufficient unless you're prepared to act to make those prayers effective. Amen.